in here on the conference call. More people join in, and welcome everybody. If you want to do so, please say your name and location.
Hello, this is Mike from Flatbush, Nebraska.
Hey, Mike, welcome to the call.
Hi, it's Lori from Portland. Had a sore throat.
I can tell. Well, thank you for being here. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Norma from Los Angeles.
Hi, Norma. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. It's Jim from Sedona.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Hi. Good. I'm very well. I hope you are, too, and I hope everyone is.
We have two sick people under us, but I know so far, but everybody's doing good for the rest.
Sure. Oh, well, those people will be in my prayers tonight for sure.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
And I believe more people have joined in here lately who have not announced themselves. If you want to do so, please feel free. Good morning. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Aloha. Hi. This is Gina from Oahu, Hawaii.
Hi, Gina. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
Good. Thank you for...
Good morning, Gina.
Hi. Good morning. Good morning. Is that Wynn?
That's Wynn.
Oh,
good
man,
morning,
I
Joe.
Hope you're...
Chicago.
This is better.
Morning,
good morning,
Joe.
That's Lori.
Good morning.
Lori from Santa Fe.
Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Good morning, Lori.
Good morning.
Hi,
Wynn.
Good morning, Lori. Good morning, Lori.
Wynn, I hope you're... Good morning.
You know what? I had 10 people send me remedies, okay?
And did they work?
Well, I probably still need to see a dentist, but let's see.
Was the string in the door to the doorknob win?
No, that's... that is the Jim... What's his name? Jim, who is that guy in the doors?
I think it was Chris.
Morrison.
Oh, Jim Morrison.
Jim Morrison.
Jim Morrison.
Yeah, Jim Morrison.
That's the Jim Morrison.
No, he would just drink a lot and just take some flowers to himself.
That's the Heisskeeper. German hard liquor.
Clove oil.
Clove oil. We got clove oil. One of them was clove oil, and the other was chewing ginger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With the inflammation, ginger for the inflammation, and clove oil for the pain.
Right. Well, the ginger stops the pain, too.
I get nitrous oxide in my deep clean. I don't like
knock it. And knock my socks off, I might get clean.
What did he say?
Not that I get laughing gas just to get my teeth clean.
Oh. So, Chris, you've been threatening to come to Sedona. Where have you been?
Yeah, I'm coming this month. I'm going to Las Cruces, New Mexico first. I'm up in Sarah, and then I'm coming.
Well,
I'm going out to Riverside to see my other friend.
Let me know when you're coming so I can take a vacation.
No, I'm gonna FedEx myself to your door.
Now, is that Marilyn's laugh?
Yes, it is.
Uh-oh. Marilyn, you're not anonymous.
I'm sorry.
Morning, Zoe.
Good morning, Zoe.
Hi, Zoe.
Morning. Hi. Hi, Wynn. Hi, Ryan. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Zoe.
Good morning. Hi, Zoe.
Hi, Zoe. Hi, thank you. Here.
And this is my last week. I'll be in Uganda. I'll be on my way to Uganda next Sunday morning. And then I arrive Monday night.
All those people that said hello to Zoe are BN. You know what that means?
No.
means before Nori. That's when we had a small group meeting every week, and Zoe was one of them.
And Carolyn, I wish you safe travels and all the best on your escapades.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, safe travels, Carolyn.
Changing the face of Africa.
Yeah, be safe. Be well.
I intend to be. I really try to be safe. I work at it.
Watch out for motorcycles.
Yeah.
That probably goes without.
When?
Yes.
This is Lori. Did you know that there was a 6.9 earthquake in Japan yesterday?
You know what? I think Terry told me.
No.
What was it?
A lot. There was another one up in Alaska. There was a lot.
Yeah, it was Hokkaido, or H-O-K-K-A-I-D-O, Japan.
Okay. Was it really bad for the city, or was it?
I don't know. I just got an email that it was a 6.9, which is.
I mean, somebody told me that the Ring of Fire is really being active. Mm-hmm. Was that Doug who made a comment?
Talking about BBS, Doug?
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Doug, you're listening. Cut.
Yeah, that's right.
With all of these broadcasts, he should pick it up through osmosis.
looks like we better hit those earthquake things hard this time.
Yes.
Yep.
Good morning. Welcome to the coffee. Say your name and location.
Mac from Utah.
Hey, Mac. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
You're the second Mac from Utah here this morning.
Wow.
Mac, your last name isn't Truck, is it?
No, but I've been called that.
then that would tell us why you give everything away. So your last name just kind of covers it. We give it all away in the end.
All right, is Terry here?
Terry is here.
Terry, are you there? Are you unmuted?
She was finding her other alternative headsets.
I had to unmute. Yeah.
Let's hear this headset. It sounds a little bit like it's too loud. Okay.
It's too loud. Should I back off?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay. How about this? Is that better?
Further.
I think
I'm putting the mic on my head.
Put it in the next room.
Terry, is this a new headset?
Yeah, this is a new headset I bought yesterday.
I would take it back if I was you.
No.
It's good on this end over here, Wynn.
It sounds good?
Yes.
It sounds good. It's a little loud. But
you can land plane stuff.
What kind of lipstick are you wearing, Terry?
I'm not wearing lipstick, but we have an army of squirrels on the roof that are playing basketball up there.
It's terrible, though.
Who's playing basketball?
You're not clear. You're not clear at all.
Oh, it's not.
No, it's not clear. It's loud, but it's not clear, Terry. I would take it back.
No. I just use it for the computer, but. Okay, how about this?
Sing a little song for us.
Is this better?
No.
Yeah, that's better.
When it's better, it sounded good over here, but you kind of need to talk for a while before us to be able to.
Okay. Now I've turned it down. I've turned the loudest down. So is that better now?
No. Just turning the loudness down on your headset.
How about this? Is this better?
By the way, anyone that's listening for the first time, I want to tell you that we always start our spin date with Wynn and Terry trying to figure out which has that piece. It's really part of our act.
You tell me, mute the line here, and then you check with Terry. How about that?
Okay, Terry, you have another headset to use?
Pardon?
Do you have another headset to use?
The only other one I've got is the patch cord is broken, so it's intermittent unless I'm really still.
Are you on your cell phone right now?
Yeah.
Pull the headset out and talk. When you go through your session, pull the headset out and talk into the bottom of the headset. Try that right now, okay?
Hello? No, I'm talking into the bottom of the headset.
That's much better, okay?
Definitely.
Yeah, but I just can't channel with it like this.
You can't?
Can you just use a speakerphone?
I'll tell you what, Terry, is Ray in Henderson on the line?
Yes, he is. Hold on 1 second.
Oh, no, we don't want to talk to him.
Okay.
He's on the line. Terry, I'm going to... Do you have that new Panasonic headset we got? I have to do a website where I review headsets. Terry, are you there?
Yeah, I'll put the bad headset back on,
let's use the Unidyne portable phone, okay?
This is intermittent.
No, let's use the Unidyne. Hang on.
We are professionals. Try to act not so professional, and that's working out pretty well today. We're getting stuff straightened out. I'm going to open the lines back up again. See if anybody has something to say.
You can go to headsetteam.com.
And I think we had more people joining here lately. This is a cool opportunity to say your name and location if you want to.
Okay, hi.
Petty,
good afternoon.
From
this is Petty from Mount
San Francisco
Vernon,
Bay Area.
I hear Teddy, and who's from the Bay Area?
Oh, Peggy.
Peggy, welcome to the call.
What?
Jerry?
This is VC from Burbank, California.
Good morning, and welcome.
Hello, everybody.
Fine again, one moment.
That's Terry rattling around with her headset.
All right. Are you here with us, Wynn? I hear some noise coming from your phone end, Terry, but I cannot hear you. No, there's a lot of crackling sound, but no vocals.
Okay, I think I got it now.
Yes.
Yeah, if I don't move, then, but let's just continue. I just won't move.
All right. Wynn, are you here with us? We cannot hear you, Wynn, in case you are. No, we're here in the background right now.
Can you hear me now? I'll just keep it like it is. If I don't touch it, it'll be okay.
Well, the lever's on its back up, okay?
Okay.
All right. Can hear you, Wynn.
He's going back to get on this phone. He gave me a backup phone in case this one doesn't work.
All right.
Yeah, you'd think, I thought I had it solved because yesterday I bought a really great new headset, and I'm surprised that people can't, that it's distorted.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, Wayne.
Okay. I think we're ready to start. Okay.
Right. I got a star 8. Let's get the recorder rolling.
Are we rolling yet?
No, not yet. Now, can't you go better? Rather go on your Skype, Wynn. You're clearer on your Skype.
I'm clearer on my Skype?
Yes.
Okay. This is better?
Yes, it is.
All right.
You want to mute the other one on your end, or you want me to do it online?
I manually muted it, okay?
You know, it's not. You're not muted on your cell phone.
I'm not? Hang on a second. I put it under the covers. Okay, now it's muted. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay,
ready to go?
No, but start it anyway.
This conference is being recorded.
Good morning, everybody. This is January. Is this January or this is February 4th, right, Terry?
The 3rd.
February 3rd. February 3rd, 2013. I'm getting the year right. I got the month right. This is what happens when time starts going wacky on you. And, you know, we've been talking about time going in strange directions for quite some time, probably a couple of years. How, and many of you are noticing this, many of you are noticing that time doesn't have the same feel to it.
Wind and, back away from your mic a little bit.
Is that better?
Yes. I think so.
Time doesn't have the same feel to it. And we've done talks about the relationship of time to dimensions. And if you didn't hear that, it's kind of an interesting idea. And I think I came up with it, or maybe I read it and played it back. But nonetheless, when we look at different dimensions, when you try to look at it spatially, it's like you think of being somewhere else and you're not here, but where are you? And I have the idea that different dimensions are really places where time moves at different speeds. Do we think time is linear? Because on the Earth plane, time is the same everywhere. If it's 3 o'clock here, it's the same time there relative to your time zone by the clock. But your experience of time is not the same. And everyone knows this, that when you're in pain, time moves slowly. And when you're having a great time, time moves fast. And some of you have noticed that when you're on these calls, time moves fast. There's a shift. It's like we started, it goes for 2 hours. And, when we're starting it, I'm thinking, geez, I've got to go 2 hours. What the heck am I going to talk about that I haven't talked about yet? But what I learned was it doesn't matter what I talk about as long as I get into the zone. And in the zone, time starts moving differently for me and for many of you, and you understand what I mean. And when you experience time moving differently, that is a way that you have of registering the fact that your consciousness is in another dimension. You still can't see it. You don't go somewhere, but you're expanded. You know, we talk about expanding your hologram. And when we talk about that, how do you know it's expanded since you can't see where you are? Well, it's kind of, you're the center point of the universe, and you've expanded beyond your center point, and you are into other dimensions, other realms, and you don't see anything. But some of you do see things. I shouldn't say you don't, because some people do. Terry does, I think. Don't you see things, Terry, when you start changing zones?
Yeah, like Christmas today, it's like I change zones and I'm looking at the Christmas lights all across the country and see Christmas lights on the street and in people's living rooms. And when it's snowing and I'm could be in the forest looking at all the trees covered with snow and all the snow coming down. Or I could be even peeking into the heaven realm at a different frequency and seeing some stuff there.
And I mean, when somebody says to look in on a discarnate soul, a soul that passed, what do you see?
I see like a bubble that's the person, like the being. And however big their space is, like it's usually got a boundary. And I see the being and I can see what they're, where they're hanging out and what they're doing and what their thoughts are. And like,
Now, do they still have a body form when you see them?
It's very much thinner, and it can be a body form, or it can be more like a sphere.
Mm-hmm.
It depends upon the individual.
Now, I think, check me out on this. I think when you see a body form, like for example, you see a 5-year-old kid or a 30-year-old adult, I think they're in the astral, and they're still maintaining the energetic format, or maybe it's not energetic. I don't know how to describe it. Energetic format of their physical body. Because ultimately, obviously, if someone died and they were 5 years old or 10 years old, they're not going to be in a 10-year-old body ultimately. But in the transition stage, they probably hold the form of their life. And that transition stage might be a long time, right? But if somebody's in the astral and holds a body form, then that means they're a ghost. Am I right there, Terry?
Not necessarily, because if they hold their body form and they stay in the third density, then they are can be coming across as a ghost, and even they could get it so intense that people could actually see it. Like there's been cases where a lady might, have been killed in a car accident, and then people will see somebody hitchhiking. They'll pick them up and they'll get in the back seat and then they'll disappear. But so they can get really intense, high intensity of manifestation, but they can't generally hold it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I had an interesting conversation with Carla Ruckert about something, and she thought I was right. This was my speculation, and it had to do with when somebody died and they were in the astral and they were evolved, and there is this, what do they call it, that vortex of light that comes in?
The tunnel of light?
Tunnel of light, right? And is it possible, my speculation was, that the tunnel of light was the vortex projected from the higher realms to give the person a track out of the astral, but they had to choose to go into it.
Yeah, it does give them a track, and it gives them an opportunity that in the tunnel of light, they're able to
transition easier into the astral. It changes their frequency, and it helps to reorient them so that when they can gradually, in the tunnel of light, move into the heaven realm.
Or higher.
Or higher, yeah. But,
You know, if they want to answer that when you talk, you know, or I'll ask it some other time. The interesting question is, when somebody is on the other side and they perceive a tunnel of light, and this is something that many, many, many people that have had near-death experiences have come back and talked about. So it's probably true. Terry perceived it when her friend died. So when you perceive a tunnel of light, is that a projection from the higher group souls to try to create a pathway for the person? Like, where does
it come
from?
I believe it is.
No one's ever, I've never heard anyone address that, you know, or what that is. But they can mention it.
But I don't think that you have to go through the tunnel of light to get to heaven.
Like, yeah,
well, yeah.
What do we know?
Okay.
Maybe you know. I don't know. All I'm saying is that people get stuck on the astral. Sometimes you see, we look at things from this realm, and we think there's an absoluteness to them. Like, oh, we'll just look for the tunnel of light. Or it's like, I'm going to go to a really high place. But I think from what I've read, and it feels right, is a level of decompression where they work with you. You get worked with by various angels, healing different aspects of your physical distortions that you had in the physical. And then you keep going. And then if you reached a certain level of worthiness, although I don't know how that works, you get worked with. And you continue. Because when people just stay on the astral from one lifetime to the next, apparently they don't get nourished. They don't get restored. And they keep coming back, and they're kind of tired and cranky. And it's like, it's kind of like a boxing match where you sit down and your trainer says, okay, get ready, and slaps water on your face and throws a bucket on your head. Get back there for more, okay? And, you know, we think of it as a hierarchy, like we're accomplishing something. But maybe it's not really a hierarchy. It's where layers of time are moving on top of each other, and we keep coming back here. And we come back here, many of us, to be of service here. Many of us to meet someone. See, in these higher realms, there I'm using the word higher, but in these other timelines, I'll use the word higher realms, you probably energetically can plug into anything you cared about through all your lifetimes. And when somebody suddenly shows up that you cared about or had a connection with, I think you can make the decision to show up and connect with them. Like, I remember when Daphne first started doing sessions, my two nephews, Danny and Jason, I asked them, they didn't always answer things like this, but occasionally they did. I asked them, did we have previous lifetimes together? And they said that we did, and that we were at the Alexandria Library, which, if you're not familiar, there was a lot of secret knowledge that had been stored up in books, etc., and they were trying to protect it in this library, which was eventually destroyed, okay? But there were, I guess, monks, or I don't know who the guys that maintained it were, but my two nephews supposedly had worked with me in that library. And then I got the idea that they became, this is, you know, my idea, I didn't ask this in channelings, but intuitively it feels right. They said I was their teacher, and that they showed up as my sister's children because they had a connection with me, and they could renew the connection. And we still have that connection to this day. And they're both different, and it's kind of an underlying theme that connects us, and they refer back to me every so often. But in looking at that, I got an idea that how much choice you make when you're just pure energy. It's hard to imagine, but that the idea that they could see me, my energy field, incarnate on the planet, and then they could choose to be born to my sister, to connect with that. I think there's a very subtle key there about how things work. Because some of you ask about how about my son or how about my children? Will we be reconnected? And I think that when you leave this realm, everywhere you have energy is connected to anyone, sticks, maintains. And that you'll be scanning from a higher place and say, there's Wynn. How do I come back again? And find a way where you can connect with Wynn or your son or whoever. In fact, there was another indication of this where in, I think this was a reading through Daphne. Daphne tends to get these specific things more better than Terry, usually, lasered in on them, where they said that I chose to incarnate back in Philadelphia because I was involved with the founding of the country. So that's similar to what I just said about my two nephews. That, and then another bit of information, and this came from somewhere else, was that I chose to incarnate in this particular family. And some of you have heard the story, I'm not going to tell it, where my father, in this lifetime, had killed me in another lifetime. He poisoned me 1,000 years ago. And the way the information came through, and this was not through our sources, this was from a guy who gave me a reading some 30 years ago, who deeply impacted my life through this reading. And they said, I chose to come into this. This person owed me a life because he had poisoned me in another life. And I had the option to have a life through him. And now I put these two things together. There I was scanning to find someone who had an energy connection with in Philadelphia. And there was this person who killed me, and I took it. And, you know, I had a very difficult upbringing because my father constantly rejected me because he had killed me, and I'm sure he felt guilt about it. And apparently my mother was there and my sister as well in this previous lifetime, and I was poisoned. And in the other lifetime, that's what the guy told me. And here I was in his family again. And I think I didn't realize on the other side how impactful that was going to be to my growth to incarnate into a family where the father killed me. And that I remember my aunts used to come around and they'd see me and they'd say, "But why are your shoulders up so high?" Like I used to have my shoulders up to my ears. And why are your shoulders so high? Relax. Well, when I looked back on it, I realized part of me was protecting myself from my father. And he gave me this feeling of being rejected all the time, which once I left Philadelphia, I continued having that feeling. I felt like everyone rejected me. I was never good enough. And it went on for years. And when I had this reading where this guy told me the scenario, it was very revelatory to me because I started to realize that I was rejected, feeling rejected all the time, not because there was something wrong with me, but because my father rejected me. And that part of what I had to do was forgive him for killing me, forgive him for killing me while I was a child. And that was not so easy to do. I mean, I would say it took me a couple, 3 years, and I probably still, somewhere in me, have some of that residual of that experience. But I'm sharing all of this because I think that we all have something similar. On some level, we've had things embedded in us from our past lifetimes. We obviously have. And we don't realize how it impacts us. And we don't realize how we made choices to come into this life to connect with someone or to be here because of someone else. And I think it might be helpful to review your own issues, to review things like that. Even if you don't know what an incident was, there's so many things that we think are us. We think we felt that way our entire life, and yet it's not us. It's only a coming through from the past, a bleed-through of a past life, an attitude, parents that we chose, and we ask ourselves, why did we choose that parent? One of the things that helped me release this particular thing was I put myself in present time, knowing all this, and I said, would I choose that again if I was given that choice, or would I have said I would have sacrificed coming into this life because it was so bad, I wouldn't make that choice again. And once I said to myself, yes, I would have made that choice again. I am glad I'm here. It helped immensely with forgiving my father and realizing that I was not a victim, that I had made the choice, and I would still have made the choice even at that time if I had to do it all over again. So some of you might realize that you made the choices for your situations, many of them pre-incarnation, and you don't realize that now because you are still at the effect of the choices you made, you know, a long time ago. And of course, again, we're using that time word. When we talk about all these dimensions and timelines stacked on top of each other, then there is no time. Time, you know, if you are a student of spirituality, there is the term the eternal now for people that move into the higher realms. And we have all this kind of stair step from this timeline through through other timelines where there's beings, we call them dimensions, timelines, and then you go to the top of it and you get to the one infinite creator and the Elohim, which are as close as you can get to the eternal now. Now, for anything to exist, there has to be time. So we would assume the Elohim exist. They do exist. They seem to exist. But they are in a timeline which is very, very close to zero point. You know, some people talk about zero point energy. That could be the place where no time exists. And when you move to the place of no time, everything happens simultaneously. It's where you have synchronicities. It's where you have meetings. It's where, you know, when I was younger, maybe some of you have had this experience. You think of a song and then they play it on the radio. My first girlfriend, Jillian, I would be humming a song in my head, and she'd start singing it out loud at the very same place I had in my head. And so we were actually having this experience of unified consciousness. And those are the things that start happening when you move into the higher timelines, and time starts moving fast. So for many of you, you're not having that experience. Time is not moving fast. So that's why we do all these calls, to create a reference point that you can not only get really good information on, but the energy on the call, because it's connected with these higher sources, when you tap into the energy on the call, time just starts moving fast, and 2 hours goes really fast. And then we're learning. We're not learning in our minds. If a lot of times I talk about things to explain an experience after the fact, because if I explained it before the fact, it would sound like it's something you could actually willfully do. In other words, you can't willfully make time move faster. You can't do it. But some of you have this experience on the line, and then when I explain that's time moving faster, your mind starts to make the connection of how it works. And we're moving in a faster zone. And when you keep making that connection, you kind of learn on the inner levels, not through an act of studiousness, how to recreate that faster movement of time in your life. And one of the things that makes time move faster that I've noticed is when people's energies... What? Jerry?
Yeah.
You're making noise. I hear you.
Jerry, okay.
Is when people's energies start to combine. Now, when I say energies combining, I don't mean emotional energies. Although emotional energies sometimes are the start of higher energy movement, this goes beyond emotional, where we start to combine our energies in other dimensions. And suddenly, there's a movement, a motion, something you can feel. You start feeling differently. You're making noise, Terry. Mute your phone.
Okay.
There is something that happens. And you folks are learning that. You're learning how that works. I'm learning it. Believe me, just doing these calls, every time I do a call, I learn something, and because I didn't know how to do this. I didn't have this kind of, even when I was having a lot of synchronicities. I certainly didn't have any confidence level to talk about it in the way we're talking about it now. But I've watched it really carefully. And part of what I do is I observe what affects what. I call it reverse engineering. And when I see a pattern keep happening, then I know if I do this and this, then this will happen. Like, for example, even on these calls, I know that if I come on the call and start talking and don't worry about what I'm going to say, I do way better than if I think, what shall I talk about this morning? And because in order to talk and not know what I'm going to say next, I have to move into that point of timelessness, or where time moves differently, because I can't do this out of my conscious mind. I can't organize it. I say, what am I going to say next? I don't know what I'm going to say next. And then I start feeling all of your thoughts, and you feel each other's thoughts. And, you know, we do the exercise where we become one, and we have that experience. And as we experience each other's thoughts, and I'm talking, I can feel when I say something, how the energy comes back and how people are responding to it. And I know when I'm on the right track because the energy sustains. If I go on the wrong track, the energy starts going downhill and it starts getting slower again. So it takes a certain act of courage on my part to be able to talk like this and not be afraid. Because in another space or time, you know, we're talking to hundreds of people, and anything I do wrong is going to be recorded in the minds of everybody. And then you have to try to correct it. So these are things that I work with in myself. And on some level, you can work with them in yourself. You know, you can start to learn this game of how to move your energy into other timelines. And you can't do it by willpower. You can't say, energy, I want to move into this dimension. I want to move into this timeline. It's like when we're at the beginning of the calls, you know, hi, says, are you ready? And we say, no. And the truth is, we're not. None of us are ready. Because you can only pull this kind of call out of a hat when you're not ready. When you go jump into the flow. And then we get the group souls in that same flow. And Terry pulls it out of a hat. And we start to feel connected. We start to feel loving. And Terry, are you unmuted again?
Yes.
Why is that? You want to make static?
No, I'm trying to, because I'm trying to be really still so that, because if I want to talk, the phone will shut off. And so I'm trying to be really still and keep an eye.
So when you don't have to unmute, you're ready.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, stay still.
We are professionals.
We are professionals, right. we may not have good equipment, but we know how to sit still. Some of us. So, you know, as you found yourself being intrigued by all those things I was just saying, then you are actually learning how things work, and there's things you can go back and apply to your life. And one of them is, as we create a energetic connection at higher levels, and then we make intentions, we become powerful. And That's how prayer works. That's how lots of things work when we do that. So in order to do that, we have to stop time, or we have to slow down time. And I think one of the things about going to church is making an attempt to slow down time so people can meet. Now, the other thing is once you start meeting on higher levels like that, it's like you have to be sure that there's no agendas of anything that's trying to steal your energy. You know, some people, if they tuned in to what we were doing or heard it and did not get it at the highest level, they think we were trying to create a one world government, New World Order, because they have taken that same idea and tried to turn it into a worldly oneness, not a oneness in the higher realms, and a control oneness, not one that honors each person's individual free will and their ability to choose. So every time you come on these calls, you're choosing, I'm choosing, and when it's over, it's just on to the next, because we're all humans, and I don't feel exalted, and Terry doesn't feel exalted. In fact, for most of our lives, I think we were all fairly, totally unexalted, and thinking, what are we doing here? So what I'm learning is that we can set an example, and we're learning how to set an example of interdimensional affiliation. And judging from the experience, the emails I'm constantly getting, it's working. And I thank you all for that. And I also thank everyone who sent me good energy prayers for my tooth, because as Terry knows, was it last night? I think it was not last night, but the night before, I was just about delirious, and I was feverish, and my jaw was swollen, and, you know, I hate to put something off, and we put off that second session with Carla Ruckert on the Law of One, and I, you know, I put it out on a mailing, that that's why I was putting it off, because of my tooth. And so many people emailed me saying they were praying for me, get better, and here I am. And I feels like I have to look hard to notice that there was something. So we have our healing list for today, and the first person on it is Michael Adler. Michael, I said your last name, but you don't have a personal request here. And Michael is putting freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of creative expression, freedom of the internet. You know, Michael has been putting that stuff in the light for 2 years, I think. And it's a very smart thing to keep one's attention on. Because once we lose those things, we may not even be able to hold a meeting like we're having now. In spite of all the oppression in the world, in spite of all the things that are of the negative, there's an opportunity in this time period, because of the internet, because of the ability to get information out to the masses, to have a huge impact. Never before in the history of mankind has there been this kind of opportunity. In the old days, people had to print up something, pass it out on the street, and go on a radio show, take a magazine ad, And now anyone with anything to say can put it on the internet, and people can discover it, and people can share it with other people. And it's an equalization of the odds, because the key is if you tap in to the right thing that people are looking for, you can suddenly have millions of people paying attention to you, or thousands. And it's still not easy. It's still not like you don't have to learn how the internet works. I mean, because I'm working on that. You know, our spirit channel has got 17,000 hits, I think. And to me, that's incredible. Let me see how many. No, 16,000, almost 16,000. Well, if you just think about it, what we're doing is we're putting up on the internet hundreds of these talks that we do, and that all these talks have this frequency that people can listen to them and learn how to make these attunements to higher energies, and there for any... discover it. It's not in the Alexandria Library. It's not in secret meetings. It's just there for the public. You know, that was scary at first. Can we actually do that? Are people going to run us out of town? The internet town? Are they going to make fun of me? You know, and just learning and building the confidence that that could work. And now it's there. 16,000 people today. There could be 100,000 people in a few months. And part of whether there's 100,000 people or 16,000, how many people you share this with. Because what we're doing is we're putting a frequency out that changes timelines, that gives people the opportunity to access higher dimensions. And we're doing it, and it's working. I would never have said that 2 years ago, because I didn't know we could do that. I didn't know it would work. But there's so many emails from people that are paying attention to these things and whose frequencies are changing. So, Michael, thank you for keeping the internet in the light. And that's a very important thing, because it's the only thing that can cause the world to keep changing, okay? We have David in Tombstone. I'm not going to read people's last names, who asks for healing for his back and for his business to be successful. And thanks for all that reads this. I love all of you. Thank you, David. Cheryl in Huntington Beach puts her dog Cody in the light. Belinda, please cover the Superdome in New Orleans with your light and protection from all harm today. Many blessings to Wynn, Daphne, and Terry. You have been my inspiration. Thank you, Belinda. And is today Super Bowl Sunday, Terry?
I don't know.
Probably.
Yes, it is.
It is. See how out of it I am, Hayes? Okay. We have Rick in Iowa City. A new source of income that he'll be happy doing. Purpose and get along with everyone. Is a new career choice or something of that nature. Thank you, Rick. And he also sends the light to his wife. Hang on a second. Von Brook. The doctors will find the best medication for her heart that will not cause arthritis or any side effects and keep her blood pressure low. Rick, I might have said this in a email to you. I don't remember. I sent it to somebody, and I suggested taking CoQ10, which, if you're having heart problems, it's available in every health food store, and it's a miracle product. And then we have Shirley in Laverne, California. Laverne. And Shirley, I don't know if you know this, but I visited Laverne all the time because Daphne and I were living in Ganesha Hills in Pomona, and I used to sit at that little coffee shop in Laverne for days on end. In fact, I wrote a good portion of The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce in Laverne. So Shirley is putting her family into the light, and she had deaths in her family, and there's little rifts in her feelings. I know there are ways and methods to grieve, but this is hurtful to all concerned. And I especially place my brother in the light, who suffers from depression and is not dealing with things very well. Thank you so much for being there and all the work you do. I just got a big shiver down my back. May you be blessed now and always. I felt Shirley shiver when I read it. Okay. This is from Anonymous in Piedmont, putting in the light the restoration of my 34-year-old view being illegally obstructed by trees of three neighbors. Okay. And we have Mary in Lincoln, California, healing from her dog. Nancy Sanchez. Just put her in the light in general. Oh, sorry, I said your last name, Sandy. Westminster, Colorado. Okay, that's what I should have said. Mary in Lincoln, Nancy. See somebody in Pennsylvania. Puts his nephew Yak in the light to lift his sadness and remove any darkness around him. And Carol Kushkin in Akron, Ohio, healing for my husband and son and abundance to come our way, to keep in our service to ourselves and others. And let's do our meditation. Let's take a moment, and if you have something to put in the light right now, something that you aren't on the list, and of course everyone has something to put in the light. What does it mean to put it in the light? It means we have this higher community of souls right now that are all affiliating and supporting each other and creating more thrust and more connection to our requests. And we are doing it. We are the ones doing it. We are the ones choosing to affiliate with each other. We are the ones choosing to affiliate with the Elohim and Ra groups and create this group connection. You see, it comes from you. It's not about giving up your power. Every step of the way, you're in your power and choosing to show up. And so take a moment and put your requests, whether it's for healing, whether it's for money, whether it's for love, whether it's for someone you know, shut your eyes and put those requests into this energy that we are creating. And now we're going to do our little visualization where we're actually, you know, we got the energy. You noticed when I said that, how clear the energy was and how refined it was. But let's do it where we verbally connect with everything. And we experience that idea that the universe is one being. And we are subsets of that being. We are extensions of that being. You know, if you look at it in the way that I spoke about it earlier, there's this energy of zero point where time stops, and we could say the one infinite creator exists where time stops. And that energy then flows into time and goes through all of time and all the timelines until it reaches us. And the goal is to be able to connect with that flow, connect with that zero point energy, and experience that everything is the same energy. We start out with the Earth, and Mother Earth has this energy which is conscious. She feels, she thinks, she experiences. Let's connect with Mother Earth coming through our floor and into our feet. And you, some of you can feel the tingling in your feet. And through our legs, and through our calves, through our groins, through our solar plexus, through our chest, through our neck, and to the top of our head. And let's just tell the Earth we love her. And thank you for hosting us. And thank you for enduring all the travesties that humans have done that have hurt you. And if you suddenly felt a wave of love come back to you as I said that, you can consider that that is the Earth sending her energy back to you so you can feel it. Now, if you notice, we're not in the celestial realms yet. We are still in the Earth moving through our bodies. And we take that same energy and move it through the top of our head and put it 1 foot above our head and shut your eyes and feel how the energy feels localized just above your head. And now, we move in through the top of our head, through our entire room, like those pictures of with all the colors going through the chakras. It's like we're streaming a big fountain out of the top of our head, and it's encompassing our room. And our room is filled with light. And we continue. We move through the ceilings. We move through the roof, and we're now moving into the sky and into the clouds and through the ionosphere and through the solar system. Are we really moving through the solar system? You don't know because you can't see it, but you can feel expanded. And we keep moving to the place where we are connecting each other. Our energies blend, merge. It's hard to find the right word because we don't want to feel like we're globbed together. And so this is a temporary coming together and a free will coming together to feel what it's like when energies touch each other in other dimensions. And here we are, a bunch of humans, not even in a physical room, all over the world, and we're doing this. And are we really doing it? You have to evaluate by the feeling of the energy. And now we are in, I would postulate, we have moved our energy beyond the veil of the earth. We are no longer contained in that veil that keeps us contracted. Notice the quality of how time moves right now. Notice when I stop talking, how the energy is refined. We could actually go into a meditation and stay in this space for quite some time. And someday we'll do that. Because it's not about what I'm saying at this point. It's the space. And we invite our sources into this space. Now, we have two group souls that claim to exist in other timelines and other dimensions. We can't see them. But they say they show up. And in fact, they're going to talk to us through Terry in just a moment. And one of them is the Elohim. There was an old session we did that kind of blew my mind. This is some of the ways that I got trained. There was a Monday night session called The Keepers of Time. And I don't know if that's up on the Spirit Channel or not, but it was an extraordinary session where they were revealing how they were the keepers of time. And I don't remember what they said, but if it's, do a search, The Keepers of Time in the Spirit Channel, because there you go. So, zone where we're energy, where we just moving with these. We're inviting them into our space. And we can feel the shift. And now we're going to move this energy down back through the clouds, the sky, the ceiling. Now, we're using physical representations, but it might even be more accurate to think of we're interweaving timeline. We're interweaving timelines at very higher dimensions, or the eternal now, with the timelines that we normally exist in. And our perceptions change. Our feelings change inside of ourselves. And until you experience this, you can't put it into words. And many of you are in that experience right now. And we move through bodies. And look for those places where there's blocks in your body. Look for those places where you have tight energy that won't let go. Deep hurt. Even disease or sickness. Move in between the molecules. Move in between time and move this energy through your body in a flow. And see if you can clear some of that out. Give it up to the higher realms. And we'll take a moment of silence. And all those things you were putting in the light earlier, put them in again. And hold the space for the things you need. Intense. Move into it. Ask with passion. Don't be stuck in your own dilemma. Push through your dilemma. You know, there's an aspect that we're creating everything. Now, it's easy to say that, but it's not so easy to take responsibility for it. If you want to move through your dilemma, you need passion, intention, and visualization. Passion, intention, and visualization. And don't just say, Elohim, do this. Elohim, do that. You need to meet them halfway or even three-quarters way. And the way you meet them is through your passion, your intention, and your visualization. So we take this moment of silence and let your requests have passion to them. Not helplessness, but passion. So let's go into hearing what they have to tell us. Terry, are you?
Hello, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but never use that headset again, okay? It's making all kinds of background noise. Even.
Well, it's the patch.
Just don't use it, okay?
It's the patch that broke.
Well, the new headset is not working, okay?
I'm not using the new set. I'm using the old headset.
All right. Okay.
I'm not using the headset. I'm just on the phone.
All right. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concern. Ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through outer energy fields, through our solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. We turn this over to our folks. Bring up a special message this Sunday morning.
We greet you in the love light of one infinite creator. This is Ra. We are a combination group that has gotten together from the Elohim and from the law to be able to specifically work with your group and each and every individual on the line, each and every individual who wishes assistance. We are able to give love light Olot of a very high frequency, we, the Elohim, have joined with the Ra because it makes a wider path, a wider frequency range that individuals may be able to sense. We are there for each and every one of you in your space, non-linearly. We do not close the telephone line. We do not come with Jerry's voice. We are non-linear in your space for each and every person who wishes to sense us, to make contact with us. In the group that we have on Sundays, in the bringing through of the energies from our group to your group with everybody on the line, it makes it easier for you to be able to focus and to sense our presence. Sometimes some people may be able to sense the pink color that we have when we manifest into your realm. The pink color which surrounds you and which can be even visible as it was on one person's computer one night when his the bar on his computer screen turned pink and he took a picture of it. We are delighted to be with you. We are delighted to have this opportunity, this sacred opportunity to connect with you. The third density realm has been like a isolation ward where people move into the frequencies of the third density and they do not focus upon the higher frequencies, and so they forget that they are part of one and all. You are part of one and all, and you love more than you can possibly imagine. You are loved by us. You are loved by the all that is. You are loved by God. You are one with your brothers and sisters within the earth realm and beyond the earth realm. When you realize this, then the individual things, just the ones that you have put in the light, can come into perspective, and you can see that overall, you are fine. You are a part of a loving universe. You are part and parcel. You are part of humanity. You are part of the higher realms, and you are one, and each part is important, and the whole does not come together right if one part would be missing. You are part of all. And so when you look at these things that you have put in the light, know that this is a temporary situation. It is not the permanent situation. And based upon that, hopefully that can give you leverage to be able to put into perspective the things that you are working with right now, which are areas which you are seeking growth, seeking learning how to handle, how to become stronger in spite of these things, these barriers, these things that you are facing. And we yearn for you to find your way through these things and find that you can be the master of them. And we are there to provide frequency assistance, loving assistance support. Sometimes moving out of the stuckness of your individual situation, shifting just a little bit, can bring you into the solution for whatever is stuck there. You need to shift in order to move into the healing solution. For if you just butt heads with the situation, the stuck situation as it is right now, without making the shift, then you will find that you continue butting heads with that difficult situation. So there needs to be a shift. And if you can grasp, first of all, within your own mind and heart, what a shift would look like, what it would feel like, if you could really sense it, then you have made the first step towards achieving that shift. And we send you joy. We send you love. We are here with you. And we love each and every one of you. We leave, but we do not leave. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for working with us and letting us feel the energy of the higher realms on this particular call. And on that note, let me see here. We're going to do a planetary healing session. And each of us is a part of God. It means that as a group, we, by affiliating our energies, allow this energy to come in. We are healing each other. This is not just the Elohim and Ra groups. We are helping each other heal and uplift ourselves. And many of you who have listened to our calls for a long period of time, because we've been doing this call for probably at least 3 years, I've noticed how the quality of energy has changed. And it's not changed. Sometimes people send me emails and say, "Wynn, you're so much better than you were a while ago." And I'm not really better. I guess you could look at it like I'm better. I'm more confident. But more than anything else, you're better. And we hit the ground running. You've let go of a lot of your stuff. And you show up, and you're hitting the ground running, which means I can hit the ground running, and the energies get stronger, and they get more powerful, and it's because we are doing that. And you're learning how that works. You're learning to feel it and say, "Why is this happening?" And then you put the pieces together. And so you can pat yourself on the back for showing up. And then as you master this, you will learn how to have more volitional action. You'll learn how to be in, some of you have already learned this, how to be in situations that would have pushed your buttons and triggered something really negative. And it's flattened out. You don't have that reaction anymore. You can hold the space above that. Whereas in the past, you were just reflecting what was coming to you. And if you don't expand yourself, if you don't expand your timelines, in the lower worlds, it's a world of mirrors where we're always just reflecting each other all the time. it feels like, woe is me. How do I get out of this? And you can't get out of it other than by expanding yourself above those situations and holding the energy above them and asking all the time, asking for higher connection till you just take for granted that no matter what happens, that connection gets made. And then you are ready for volitional action. What does volitional mean? It means reaching out, doing something that would normally be scary, talking about something to a friend, or holding some kind of meeting yourself, so that you can expand this energy into the world around you, the people around you, in one way or another. And for every person, it's going to be unique. And people are always asking, what's my purpose? What am I supposed to be doing? And that's what you're supposed to be doing, in my opinion. I shouldn't say that's what you're supposed to be doing, because I'm not here to tell you what you're supposed to be doing, but that would be a good thing to do as you learn how to hold these frequencies. So we're going to do a planetary meditation, a planetary healing vibration, and we're going to use our teamwork of all of us and our sources to flow this energy onto our planet. Now, we can imagine this team, which we've just created, or we've just accessed, that was always there, but we've accessed the energy of it. We have created the affiliations. And we can imagine it in space. We can imagine it in another dimension. But it has to flow into this dimension. And so we bring it through all the realms, this group energy, and we're going to ask it to surround and change certain things, always for the highest good of all concerned, and honoring free will. So we see this energy projected surrounding our entire planet like a cloud. A cloud that's connected to the higher dimensions. And we see all these people on our planet that are reaching, that want some kind of experience. And we ask this energy to surround each of those people. And give them the opportunity to reach for it. There's so many people that are praying, that are meditating, that are looking for higher connections. And I'd like to ask that we touch those people. And if their high selves permit it, that they join with our little group today. And let's let this energy descend to all those people in leadership positions, heads of countries, heads of corporations, and surround them, giving them the opportunity to feel compassion, because many of them don't. Many of them are involved in negative agendas, attempting to enslave us. And let's have this energy to touch them. And let's surround and touch the dolphins in particular, who hold a very high frequency on this planet. And in one of our sessions, the dolphins were helping to hold the energetics of the earth grids together. Let's send this energy to those land masses around the Ring of Fire. And there's a lot of activity on the Ring of Fire right now, so I'm going to do this slowly. And we can look at the geographical location and see this energy projecting through the Earth and into those areas where there's fault lines. And of course, this is the land masses surrounding the Pacific Ocean, which are the most volatile areas for earthquakes. And earthquakes are caused by the tectonic plates that are ruptured against each other. And the Earth has some say, I believe, about how these things are released. And we do know that we are sending a lot of loving to the Earth right now. And the Earth does need to have releases. So we're not going to eliminate earthquakes. But we can ask for the earthquakes to be small and away from population centers, and eliminate it if possible. We start out at the tip of South America. We go up through Chile, through Peru, through Ecuador, through Colombia. And we see our energy penetrating through the Earth, surrounding all the tectonic plates, the earthquake faults. Moving into the Earth. And we move into Central America, where we have Panama, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala, and into Mexico. And up through Mexico into California. Into San Diego, Oceanside, all those cities in Southern California. And if you happen to be in one of these areas, in particular, be an anchor point for the energies, if that feels comfortable. Feel the energy move through your body and into the earth underneath you. Oceanside, Carlsbad, up to Orange County, Long Beach, and Los Angeles. I know we have people in Los Angeles on the line. See yourselves as a group flowing energy through the floor into the earth. And we go to Ventura, Santa Barbara, up the California coastline to San Francisco and all the areas around San Francisco, Berkeley, Oakland, Concord, etc. Up into Northern California, up through Mill Valley, Sausalito, Northern California, into Oregon, and up the coast of Oregon. Through Portland. To Mount Hood, into Washington, through Seattle, to Mount Rainier, and into Canada, in through Vancouver, up the coast of Canada. Through the Yukon and over into the southern coast of Alaska, Sitka, Juneau, and down the eastern coast of Russia. You know what? I'm looking at a map right now, and I can see when you go down the eastern coast of Russia, you come to Japan, North and South Korea, and China. And Indonesia, and Hong Kong, and Singapore. And the Philippines. there was an earthquake in Japan, and I'm not aware of how. Severe it was. A strong earthquake hits Japan's northern island of Hokkaido. But authorities say there's no danger of a tsunami and no immediate reports of injury or damage. The quake's magnitude was 6.9. And while we're in Japan, let's send the energy around Fukushima and the radiation there. And ask for the capping or the reduction of radiation on a molecular level. And we go down to Australia and New Zealand. So being that we're making ourselves very big and very powerful, we will now look at that entire ring of fire. And it's from an earth point of view, it's a big area. But from a God point of view, it's a speck in the universe. And we are looking at it from the God point of view. We can shut our eyes and flow energy into that entire space. Let's move our focus to the middle of the United States, to the area which is called the New Madrid Fault Line. St. Louis, Kentucky, Indianapolis. And Tennessee, I believe, are the states. There is a fault there, which if it goes, some people say, could cause the water of the Great Lakes to flow into the Gulf of Mexico and divide our country. So let's send this energy again, like this is a very small speck in the universe. And we are way above that, and we can move through that whole area, move through the ground, and surround all those tectonic plates with light and balance and ask the earth to do what she can. I see Arkansas is one of those states, and so is Illinois. Let's ask for interventions. Let's ask that no nuclear weapons be permitted to go off on this planet. let's ask for a balancing of all those harmful elements that might be in chemtrails. And a destabilization of the frequencies that are coming from HAARP. And anywhere else that there's artificial frequencies that affect humans in a negative way. Let's ask for Hollywood to start making movies that hold the energy of an expanded realm in the movie, that inspire people as well as entertain them. Let's ask for the collective consciousness of humankind to be protected from fear. Fear is the trump card of the negative. Fear is what causes us to contract, to separate ourselves, to feel alienated. Let's ask that each of you that are listening to this can have fear released from your own system, realizing that fear of survival and fear of death are not real, because we're all going to die anyway. And I think we're learning on these calls that we may die, but we continue. Take a moment again to put all your own issues in the light. Shut your eyes. Remember, passion, vision, and persistence. And release it all. And learn to be in this realm, but not of it. Learn to have the courage to not worry what people think of you. And not be worshiping the God of opinion. In case you didn't notice, we ran another email yesterday for our gold wellness pendant. And aside from being a great deal, it helps support our work. And, you know, we have no outside support. It's only coming from those of you who are being touched. And whatever we've done and however we're reaching you, it's because of our passion and commitment. So you can buy those things, and it helps support us back. And you might even make a small donation, because making a donation is an act of grace, because it's supporting us without getting anything in return. You can try it. like, look at that donate.intelligent-infinity.com. Look at that donate thing and even put in $3 and see if you can feel the flow of energy and love that extends to us that comes back to you. That's the way it should feel. And on that note, we have reached the end of this session.